Welcome into the Train with the Best podcast. We are in Indianapolis at the NFL Combine, and for the second year in a row, Araya Fish, who is a registered dietitian. If you want to know the difference between that and nutritionist, listen to last year's episode.
That's right. That's right.
From Exos is with us. Araya, good to see you.
It's nice to see you guys again. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming back on the show. So today, what we are going to do is we are going to talk about like in-game nutrition, if you will, in-sport nutrition. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really fascinating topic for football players because they actually have time to eat on the sidelines, and it's a four-hour game, so it's right. A long time. You know, think about, obviously, a lot of people talk about fueling for marathons or half marathons or, I don't know, Chris, high rocks,
yeah.
if you're me. You know, so when you think about what an athlete needs in the course of their actual sport performance, what are some of the considerations you're going under nutritionally, logistically, all of those things?
Yeah, absolutely. So one big thing that is really important, especially if we're talking game day, race day, anything like that, is meal timing, meal and snack timing. So what time is your game or your practice? What is available to you during that time? So 3 to 4 hours before is when we typically recommend you having a full-fledged meal.
Full meal 3 to 4 hours before. Okay.
Correct. Yep. So, and then when we get closer to the game, about 30 to 60 minutes prior to the game, we want to kind of, I like to say, top off your tank.
Okay.
I kind of always give the analogy, you wouldn't go on a road trip with half a tank of gas. Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't enter a game with just half a tank of gas of what you ate 3 to 4 hours before.
Gotcha.
So we're topping off our tank 30 to 60 minutes before that game, practice, whatever it may be. So that's always really important. And then, of course, the quality of what you're eating and the macronutrients that you're eating. So the meal 3 to 4 hours before is just a typical meal. We do want to be a little bit more higher carbohydrate content in that meal, moderate protein, moderate fat. You can throw some veggies in there. And then about 30 to 60 minutes prior to the game, we want to focus mostly on simple carbohydrates. So when I say simple carbohydrates, it's basically sugar. The reasoning behind that is it digests very quickly, so it's going to give you that quick, efficient energy that you need right before. So that, in terms of meal timing, is really important. Hydration, equally as important, and I think that's something that always kind of flies under the radar. Everybody always thinks, food first, what am I eating? But the hydration is equally, if not more important, honestly. And that's not coming just from water, but you need your electrolytes. Sodium is going to be the main electrolyte you lose when you sweat, so especially depending on what sport you play. So for our football players, especially our larger guys, they tend to sweat a little bit more. So they're going to need a little bit more sodium than maybe our receivers, DBs, anything like that.
Interesting.
And then you've also got your potassium, your calcium, magnesium, all of that as well. That's equally as important. So making sure that you're getting that in both during, before, and after game practice, anything like that. Not only to help with like cramping and just to keep you hydrated, but it's also going to help with that macronutrient breakdown as well.
Well, what about at halftime? So you're going out 3 to 4 hours before, full meal, top off the tank about 30 to 60 minutes before, and then halftime. What are we thinking about at halftime? I'm imagining more than just the orange slices.
Well, you know, the crazy thing is actually that's exactly what you need
okay.
during halftime.
So orange slices,
I had it right at your 6-year-old soccer.
I know. So yeah, all dietitians always laugh because it's like you had no idea when you were six years old and playing that soccer game, and your parents brought the fruit snacks and the orange slices. Like, they probably had no idea either what it was actually doing for
right.
you. But it's the same thing during halftime. You need that simple carbohydrates, that sugar, again, because we want that quick, efficient fuel. If you have something that's more of like a complex carbohydrate, it's just going to sit in your gut, and it's going to do one of two things. It's going to make you feel uncomfortable and potentially even maybe a little bloated, whatever, during the game, during that second half, or it's just not going to give you that fuel that you actually need because it's going to take a little bit longer to digest. So you're going to feel that energy, but a couple hours later, so not when you actually need it. So great options are fruit, your orange slices. I think popular ones are chews, gels. I always say like fruit snacks are a great option. Pretzels, goldfish, like literal children food,
yeah.
kid food.
Sour patch kids.
I always say like the professional athletes are, it's basically like feeding a toddler, honestly.
just a lot more quantity.
Yeah, we have
yes.
our episode
just
title.
Just a lot more.
So you have to do that.
It's like feeding a toddler.
Right. You got to do the airplane thing, right? Like,
did you know that Chris has children?
Yeah.
You didn't. Now you know. I want to circle back to the sodium element. I know for me that's been a huge game changer in terms of how I feel. Like I use Element, that just happens to be the one that I use. But you know, I guess they are a little bit different, right? Like your liquid IV has more sugar content, and an Element is sugar free. And there's other brands and varieties of those things. But like we can go a little bit deeper because this is in theory like a high level fitness podcast, despite at times what it may appear. Like, why is that sodium intake so important? What is it doing for us that, you know, you feel that difference if you've had it properly when you're on a long run in an intense workout, whatever it may be?
So I would say first and foremost, what it's doing is it's actually keeping you hydrated on a cellular level. So you can drink as much water as you want without the electrolytes all day long. You're going to notice probably a couple things. One, you probably don't feel as hydrated as you could. Two, you're also probably going to use the restroom often. What the sodium does is it helps retain the water. So when I say on a cellular level, it's keeping the water in so that you can actually be hydrated. It's arguably the most important electrolyte because, like I said, you do sweat it out in the greatest quantities. That's the biggest thing.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense. And now I'm thinking for High Rock, I'm like, do I use the scratch formula and the Element? Do I use this? Do I use that? Mm-hmm. It's just like,
there's so many good options out there. Yeah.
Do you have any that, I don't know whether Exo's partners, so I'm not trying to get you in trouble here, but Exo's partners with everybody. Are there some that like are your kind of standby go-tos that if people don't have any frame of reference, this is like a totally new thing for them and they're just like, they go on Amazon, they're like, I don't know which one to get. Which one would you recommend?
Yeah, so we do utilize Element. That's probably one of my favorite ones. We also use Thorn Catalyte, a little bit of a smaller sodium content, just because that's kind of the one we produce in like mass quantities in our facilities. So to keep it consistent and to keep it easy enough for everybody, because like I said, some people do need the whole 1,000 milligrams of sodium in the Element, but a lot of people don't. Especially with the training that we're doing there, it's not always, they're not sweating a ton, so they don't always need that that high quantity of sodium. So those are two good ones. Drip Drop's pretty good as well. And then Morten, I think that's how you say it. It's like M-A-U-R-T-E-N.
Yeah, yep.
They have a lot of great options as well. They also have like caffeinated options when it comes to electrolytes. That's pretty good for endurance because I know they have like high sugar ones and then they have lower sugar options as well. So those would probably be my go-to. But Element, to keep it simple, that's what we use. We have it here. Our guys love it, especially from a taste standpoint. That's another important thing.
Right.
Because if you're putting it in a water bottle and you got it down a 16, 24, 32 ounce water bottle, whatever you have, you want to make it taste good for them to actually want to have it.
Got it.
So again, it's like feeding toddlers.
It's like feeding toddlers. Okay. So you mentioned a lot about just the sweat rate and how related that is to how much sodium you should be intaking, right? And I bring that up because games in late August, early September are very different from games in late November, early December.
Absolutely.
So is that something that you then change in terms of like how much sodium you're intaking?
Potentially, yes. So a lot of times it also depends on the person. Like I said, our big guys, like our O-line, even some D-line guys, like regardless of what the weather is outside, they're just profusely sweating. And then some people are also more of a salty sweater than others. So not everybody is a very heavy salty sweater. So that also depends. There are sweat sodium tests that you can do nowadays, which is very, very efficient and important to do if you have access to it, because that will genuinely tell you what you as a person need from an electrolyte standpoint.
And when the players get their trolley horses or their cramps or whatever it is that they call it, what is it that they're missing and why is that happening?
So that's a tough and kind of controversial question, honestly.
Just because
it's not as much as everybody thinks it's purely nutrition related. That's not always the case.
I know there's a level of conditioning, right? Yeah. But you hear these things like eat mustard, drink pickle juice. And I'm like, my answer is, You're cramping because you're not in shape. My answer is we need more conditioning to get you to the level where you're not cramping.
But then again, LeBron James cramped in game one of the finals in 2013, and when the Heat got out of control in San Antonio.
When the Heat got out of control, right.
But he's the most conditioned guy on the floor.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I know that there are layers to this answer, obviously. There's a lot of different reasons why somebody's going to cramp up in the middle of a game. From your standpoint, what are the things that you consider to either supplement with, or hey, what can we give this person now to help remedy the cramps?
Yeah, so mostly a hydration thing. So sodium is going to be first and foremost. Potassium and magnesium are going to be the next two electrolytes that are going to be equally as important. So that's why everybody says like, oh, have a banana at halftime or anything like that. So what I typically do, I don't know if you guys are familiar with something called the Right Stuff. It's even higher sodium than the Elements. It's about 2 grams per little packet.
Wow.
And it's a gel, not a powder. So you just kind of straight shoot it.
Oh my God. That's gotta be one salty gel.
Yeah. It's not athlete's favorite thing to take. But it truly does get the job done. So
is it like the Hot Shot that, like, I know like the NWSL, like and a lot of the soccer players are something similar to that. You watch them take it and then their face contorts, but then their cramp is better.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it.
So my go-to has always been, you start with the Right Stuff and then, carbohydrates are actually going to be next.
Okay.
Which typically if someone's cramping, you're not going to be able to get them to eat food or eat a banana or anything like that.
Right.
So what I've done in the past is, those like go-go squeeze applesauces, any kind of gel, like even like a small little chew kind of thing, that's going to be beneficial as well. So just making sure.
You're literally describing like the lunchbox that we pack for kids on road trips. Like, here's your go-go squeeze applesauce.
I told you. I
know. And Bree loves them.
Got it.
Yeah. No, they're good. But yeah, because it's hard to know what you're actually cramping from.
Right.
So typically most dietitians will have their like go-to remedy. So like I've been in situations before where my go-to of the Right Stuff and the go-go squeeze and all of that isn't enough. So then you're kind of pumping them with even more, whether it's more gels, more chews, another Right Stuff, whatever it may be. It just really depends. And obviously you want to throw some water in there too.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, like the one player that flashes into my mind is, not anyone that I've worked with here, but he couldn't get off the ground. So he's like laying flat on his back. So it's like anything we can give him that he can get down while he's lying flat on his back.
Right.
So you got to have your options. But I would say sodium and magnesium and potassium, and then your sugars as well.
All right. So last component of, as we hear 40-yard dash, practice in the background,
that's right.
Giant pad on the wall. I didn't realize it was a pad. I thought it was just a crash pad.
Yeah.
I just thought that was like a display and I'm like, they're going to break the display. Nope. It's designed for that.
Yes.
That tells you how my 3 days are going. Last piece of the nutrition equation obviously is the post. And I wanted to spend most of this on the in game, but just kind of quickly, everyone thinks about protein after. Is there anything else that is really essential in your mind? And it really more so like the why, like what are we actually accomplishing by getting the protein and I'm guessing the carbs in there post and kind of what happens timeline wise in terms of recovery if you don't get that stuff?
Yeah. So definitely protein, carbohydrates, and then again, some kind of fluid, hydration. We kind of have our three R's at Exos where we say rehydrate, refuel, and rebuild. So you're rebuilding with the protein, refueling with the carbs, and rehydrating with the water.
Got it.
And what that does is, so there's even more, there's a million studies about protein and carbs post-workout, how much you should have, what the threshold is. And there's even more coming out now with very controversial information that a lot of dietitians are really digging into and trying to figure out. But in general, getting the protein, carbs, and fluid in is the most important. Whether you do that through a shake, a meal, a quick snack, anything like that, the sooner the better. There is, I want to say probably 5-6 years ago, there was that whole controversial opinion of, is the window of opportunity a true thing? Is that real?
Right.
It is and it isn't.
Okay.
It very much depends on a lot of different factors. One, starting with what you had prior to activity.
Right.
What kind of activity you completed, and then just the kind of person you are as well. So my recommendation is always, look, if you can get it in as soon as possible, just do it. It's going to be the most beneficial either way.
Mm-hmm.
So what I typically recommend is the protein and the carbs is also, it's based on your size. So your body weight, and then also your goals as well. So are you a weight gainer, weight maintenance, weight loss? So that's going to kind of play a role. But what happens is obviously the protein helps rebuild your muscles that were just broken down during whatever exercise you were doing. The carbohydrates, what that does is it replenishes your glycogen stores that were utilized for that exercise. No matter what type of activity you're doing, your body's first choice of fuel is carbohydrates. So you're depleting your body during that workout, especially if you're not having anything intra-workout. So we want to replenish that. And that's typically where that window of opportunity actually comes into play. It's more from the carbohydrate standpoint than it is actually from the protein standpoint.
Got it. That's interesting.
Got mm-hmm. it.
Okay.
Yep. So most of the studies find that if you have carbohydrates within the first 30 to 60 minutes, along with protein, your body actually metabolizes and utilizes it way, way faster than it does if you have it 2+ hours after.
Okay.
So that's
30 to 60 minutes, carbs and protein, not just protein.
Yep, correct. Yes. Because the protein also helps to metabolize and absorb the carbs at a faster rate as well. So that's why the pair is important.
Yeah, the absorption.
Go ahead. That's cool. I never, like, I'd seen this stuff five, six years ago about kind of that window of opportunity. And people are like, oh, it's your total intake over the day or over the week. Or it's like, what are we doing here? And that's why you have the fancy letters after your name and you actually get to make sense
three
of all
R's.
Of that.
Three R's.
I'm talking about the RD.
No,
registered dietitian. She went to a lot of school for it. Again, we learned that a year ago.
Those are not
ago.
The letters that I was
that's
talking about.
That's the letters I was talking about.
Yeah, you're
the
right.
The point is that makes sense that like the data is kind of mixed because it's actually this other thing, carbs, not the protein. So I'm glad we got clarity on that.
Yeah.
Arai Fish, registered dietitian, performance dietitian at Exos, getting all their athletes ready for Indy and beyond their pro days and such. And this 2 years in a row. Let's see if we can make it three next year. Thanks so much for coming back on the pod.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
The Train with the Best podcast is brought to you by Momentous. And Chris, I remember when Momentous was just a company with three protein blends, and then that was it. Now, pretty much anything in the supplement game you can get at livemomentous.com.
That's right. If you go to livemomentous.com right now, you might not even recognize some of these products. And for me, I'm definitely going to change my monthly subscription. I've been getting the Brain Drive. I've been getting the Elite Sleep. I've been getting the Collagen. And it looks like I need to up my game a little bit and take a look at some of these products like the Alpha.
Yeah, no doubt. And what's great about Momentous's website, which you can go to right now, livemomentous.com, is that they also have a lot of descriptions and information on best usage, best practices. It's not just like, hey, here's all this stuff. It's like, hey, are you looking for this? Well, then you should get that. So any supplementation needs you may have, they've got you covered. And it's stuff that, like, look, if you want the 4-hour description on what Tongat Ali does, you go to the Huberman Lab podcast. They got you covered. That's not us. But it might be something that you need. So go check it out. And here's what we do have for you. We have a discount. LiveMomentous.com. Use TWTB at checkout for a special discount. TWTB is in Train with the Best at LiveMomentous.com. The Train with the Best podcast is brought to you by Jocku. And we've been partners with Jocku for basically a year now, Chris. Can't believe how much the time has flown by. And it's still just as spectacular as it was when we discovered it.
It's plain and simple. Good, reliable timing on your speed drills, on your multi-directional drills. You know, how many of us who are speed coaches just need a good, accurate time out there to verify, one, the results that we're getting, and two, the trends that we're going in, right? So this is a great product for anybody who is a speed trainer or anybody who works with athletes. And now you're even able to track vertical jump, which is such a valuable tool when you're taking a look at somebody's program. So make sure you check out Jocku. And Craig, what's the code that they should be using?
You go to jocku.com/discount/TWTB. You get a 20% discount on all Jocku products, so the muscle blasters and everything as well. But yeah, I mean, I used to always love coming down to Onyx, testing my vertical on the Vertec machine. Now I don't even have to do that. You don't need a big, giant, high ceiling to have a Vertec and be able to extend it up. You just put the Jocku on your wrist, set it up. There you go. It's all cell phone app based. So go to jocku.com/discount/TWTB and get 20% off the Jocku Speed and all other Jocku products. The Train with the Best podcast is brought to you by BlazePod. And Chris, what's so great about BlazePod is you can use it in every part of the workout. You can use it to help warm up. You can use it in kind of your main parts of the workout. You can use it as a finisher. What's your go-to recently with BlazePod?
Yeah, for me, what I love using BlazePod for is just keeping our athletes engaged. So, you know, you can get into the rut of the workout where you're doing time sets. So if you've got 30-second plank, a 30-second wall sit or whatever, but if you add BlazePods to that, now that 30 seconds doesn't seem like it's so long, and it keeps the clients a little bit more engaged, a little bit more motivated to perform well, and it's something that just adds a lot of fun to the session.
No doubt. We could all use a little attention for our inner child. And who doesn't love stuff that lights up? And oh, by the way, it's an elite training tool, the best of all worlds. And of course, we got the hookup for you. Use the code TWTB at blazepod.com for 15% off your order. That's TWTB as in train with the best for 15% off at blazepod.com. Welcome back to the Train with the Best podcast from Indianapolis, the NFL Scouting Combine. We are hanging out in the Exo Suite. Craig Hoffman, now you know it's real.
Yeah, you know it's real. So, what you just heard was the bang of the crash pad here as guys are practicing their 40 starts because we've got DBs running today. Today is Thursday.
Just like a DB, they were being a little extra with how
Yeah, of course. You know, they're running.
Very extra.
That's how DBs do. They take their shirts off to practice their 40 starts because that's necessary.
And they see, hey, there's a podcast happening. Let me see how loud I can bang the pad in the background. Obviously, Chris Gores is here. Lance Bennett, who's glad to be back on the pod, who works with Chris at Onyx. And then our guest today is Zach Mitchell, who is a PT at Exos at their Gulf Shores location down in Florida. Zach, welcome to the pod, man.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So, Chris, I'll let you take it here. This was your idea in terms of kind of where to take this conversation.
Yeah, no. So one of the things that I see is, you know, to get ready for the combine, you have so many different players involved, right? Obviously, these guys are getting ready for a big day, and they've got nutritionists that are helping them with their fueling. They've got physical therapists who are helping them, which is a major component of the combine that a lot of people don't realize, the medical information that gets shared here, right? And then you've got your speed coaches and your strength coaches and all that. So in your eyes, what are the roles of everybody and how do you see your role and how do you play your role to the best of your ability?
Yeah, so at this time of year, man, our performance coaches are really the stars, you know, like they're the ones who are needed the most. But we have guys who come in who are either right outside of a surgery or a major injury, and they're not able to go yet. So we work hand in hand with our doctors down there at the Andrews Institute, who are really on our campus with us, to check guys out, see what kinds of things are going to pop up when they get here in Indy, what things are going to be a concern, what's not a concern, what can we work through and improve so that they can perform when they get here, or if there is no plan to perform in combine, maybe it's perform for a pro day or a private workout, you know, months after all of this stuff. So our role is to take each and every person where they're at and try to get them to the best level that they can be to prepare them for the thing that they're getting ready for, whether it is combine, pro day, or a private workout.
Yeah, so with that, I guess, how are you changing maybe your plan of care for certain athletes, for guys that are going to participate in the combine versus guys that may skip the combine and go straight to the pro day? What does that look like for you?
So most of what we're doing is maintenance work, you know, for the guys that are healthy. So we're trying to make sure that they are, you know, they're loose. If it's soft tissue restriction or fascial restriction, we're working on that stuff. If it's joint mobility things, we're working there. But we also, you know, especially down where we are in Gulf Breeze, we are very big on movement. So passive treatment's great, feels good. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it doesn't stick.
Yeah.
Unless you do things that move and teach you how to move the right way. So there's also a big aspect around almost re-education of how to move correctly. You know, if it's something very simple as to just understanding that you need good hip internal rotation when you're loading and absorbing and trying to work in 5-10-5 and that kind of stuff. Some guys don't understand that. I mean, you know, you don't know what you don't know. So these are athletes. They know football. They don't know their own body.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's sad in and of itself, but, you know, you can't really help that, right? Like, if that's not the thing that you went to school for 7 years.
Right. And they're also, at this point, 21, 22 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't think I cared much about my body at 21. I'm pretty sure I destroyed it every day. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know much about anything at 21. Yeah. That's kind of the point.
Really, rolling.
Yeah, and what do they say? The first step to change is awareness, right? So sometimes we just illuminate things for them. Hey, did you know that you are this asymmetrical in the ankle or this asymmetrical in thorax rotation? So making them aware, some guys it can be detrimental because then that's all they think about. But then for other people, it's like, oh, man, I'm really glad that I know that, so now I can work on it. And that's how we get some buy-in for guys to come over more often. Mm-hmm. Like I said earlier, not everybody has to be brought back to base level. Some people are already there. Mm-hmm. So then it's, well, how much can we upgrade you? Right? Even a Ferrari can be upgraded off the line, right?
Yeah, right.
So that's a lot of what we do as well. And so because of the vast variety that we have of where people are at, we do a whole lot of things. We take guys, we integrate guys into performance. So a lot of us are also strength coaches. We have certifications and experience doing that. Mm-hmm. So we're able to bridge the gap, so to speak, right? From
absolutely.
From like a truly bring you back up to baseline to, you know, we don't want to send you out with the coaches when you're having to be modified so much. So let's just take you through modified movement skills, modified strength training, modified plyometrics, and just kind of build you up, check boxes along the way to make sure that you're competent with movement. So it's actually really fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I would probably go crazy just working in a regular clinic where we just saw a post-op.
Preach, man, preach.
So it's a really good
like,
place.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly, man. Yeah. You're speaking my language. So on that, right, talk about maybe what that communication structure looks like around this time, because you have to communicate effectively, right, with the athlete, but then you are so integrated with, like, strength and conditioning, performance. The combine is, like, very technical skills depending on the position that you play, and there's certain things you know that you'll have to do when you get here. So how are you guys kind of communicating, like, hey, maybe, you know, today this guy backs off a little bit and we need to modify these things, but you want them to get the output, you want them to get the work for that day. So what does that communication look like?
Yeah, so, I mean, like I said, we communicate a lot with our doctors. So Dr. Kendall at the Andrews Institute is the guy we go to, right? He's going to get our guys looked at, tell us what they look like, you know, from an imaging standpoint and from a physical exam standpoint, and then recommend some things. You know, obviously from his standpoint, it's maybe just shouldn't do a lot of impact. And then we'll take that, you know, if it's an ankle, we'll take that to the coaches and say, hey, he's probably going to be okay with linear impact, you know, according to Doc and what he thinks and where the injury and all that is occurring. But he needs to be modified with multi-directional movement. So, you know, whenever he's going to go out there on a multi-day, he needs to be at walkthrough pace. So there's a bit of a learning curve as a PT when you join EXO, is that you have to understand the performance lingo. So it's beneficial if you've been a coach, but if you're not, you gotta learn that stuff quick, and you only learn by doing. So, you know, EXOs, we do a really good job, I think, of educating and bringing people up to speed, you know, quickly, because that's important. You have to have good communication and understand what they do to almost to their level so that you can speak to it. We also have a lot of coaches who I believe can speak to PT stuff to our level. I firmly believe that the coach that I work with, Anthony Hoggood, he doesn't believe this, but he could treat people. Like, if he had somebody who's injured, he would be able to treat them. Now, does he know all of the manual therapy techniques? Maybe not, but if you ask me, I don't think that's really what makes you a good PT anyways. It's how you diagnose movement. It's how you fix movement, period.
That's, love it. Yeah, I love it. That. I'm going to add one more layer to the communication tree here, which is the agent side of it, right?
Yeah.
So agents ultimately typically are the decision makers on whether a guy works out or not, and they're kind of in control of their player's process, and they get to make that because they pay those players money that they hope they then make back on the contract when they get into the league. So what are those conversations like this time of year if you have, say, a guy coming off something, or a guy picks up a knock in the training process, and the decision of, like, hey, this is where he is, this is how we can expect him to perform, and then ultimately the agent and the player have to decide, are we going to run our 40 at the combine? Are we going to wait till the pro day? Like, what are those conversations like?
Honesty.
Yeah.
Because, look, at the end of the day, you could blow smoke up somebody and tell them all the things that they're going to do, and you can sit there and overpromise, and then, you know, you'll get caught with your shirt over your head when you underdeliver. So you have to be honest with them. You have to make sure that you tell them exactly what it is. And, you know, there is no, I think this, or, you know, I bet if they did all these things, they could do. No, it's just, this is what they are. They've run this. The doctor has said this. You know, the soft tissue injury that they suffered that was grade 2 is only 2 weeks out. It still looks like this. Like, they are not ready. So it's just honesty. If you're honest with them, they appreciate that more. Even if that means, you know, their player got injured under your watch, right? Because, you know, it happens. Like, soft tissue injuries start popping up. But if you're honest with them, at least they know, and they think, okay, you know, we can push it to pro day now. We'll make sure that they're ready by pro day. So it's more about just honesty, and being able to sometimes maybe speak to something in a layman's term, you know, way that they could understand as well. I mean, heck, agents these days are almost as knowledgeable as
all of us. Oh, it's crazy.
You know?
Agents, it's their job to know.
You talk to agents about medical stuff. You talk to agents about ball. Like, you want to get good scouting reports on guys, talk to agents.
Yeah.
Like, they the good ones, I should say.
Yeah. Right.
For sure.
Absolutely. So, I love everything that you've said because it's in line with a lot of things that we do. Movement fixes everything, not just the treatment. I love what you said about the communication part because, you know, part of what I wonder is, what's the hierarchy or the prioritization or who gets first bite, right? Like if we're all sitting at the dinner table and there's the strength and conditioning coach and then there's the position specific coach and then there's the physical therapist, who gets first bite?
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody else
has to plan
around.
The agent, paying the bill.
Well, yes.
Yeah, but outside of that, I know what he's talking about.
The agent is the one putting the meal on the table, right?
Yeah.
Who gets first bite?
You know I'm not going to pass up a joke.
Yeah. It's the coaches, man. I mean, look at any NFL team, look at any pro team. Who do you think is getting paid the most?
Right.
The head rehab coordinator or the head strength coach?
Correct.
Let's be real.
Yeah.
It's the head strength coach.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's for good reason. They set the culture, especially in the college ranking, but I would assume even in the NFL ranking. I've never played in the NFL, but I played in college. They set the tone. They set the culture. So, you know, they're the most important. But the good ones respect and appreciate the others. You know what I mean? They listen to us and they respect what we have to say. We respect the fact that they respect us and it keeps getting reciprocated, right?
Yeah.
I'm big on reciprocation.
Yeah.
From a psychological standpoint, from a relationship building standpoint, marriage, whatever it is, reciprocation is important. So if you treat them with the respect that they have been given based off of this industry, they'll give it back to you.
So I want to follow up on that, on the reciprocation part, because the other thing you talked about was with communication. The most important thing that you need is honesty,
mm-hmm.
right? And you can be as honest as you can be with the other coaches, with everybody else involved. But the one person who might not be honest is the athlete themselves.
Absolutely.
And not because they're trying to be dishonest, but because in themselves, like, they're going to tell you they can go.
Yeah.
And you, in your mind, knowing professionally what you know that they can't. So mm-hmm. how do you deal with that?
Well, I would argue that sometimes you don't know. We think we know, and I can expand, but you can get an image of something. You can go off of a person's symptoms. But for example, if you've never pulled a hamstring, your first low grade one, maybe not even gradable, like no structural damage, is going to feel like you got shot in the back of the leg. And you're going to be you're going to have a high sensitivity to it. You're going to report higher symptoms. You're going to be, you know, they're going to be scared. I saw that this year. And then you're going to wait 24 hours, maybe 48, because the docs like to give it a little bit of time to develop before they want to image it. And then they finally go in and they start imaging it. And it comes back as almost nothing. And then maybe you forgot to get a history, but then you go ask them, have you ever had a hamstring injury? And they're like, no, this is my first one. And they're like, okay. A little bit of a sensitivity thing maybe going on, like they perceive it as being worse than it really is. You get the docs, you know, you get the docs feedback on their end, and then you realize that maybe it's not as serious as you thought, and we need to maybe, I don't say push through it, but we do a little bit, we take it easy for a couple of days, and then we go. Versus somebody who has had multiple injuries, right? They've pulled their hamstring 4 or 5 times in their history. They pull up with an injury that they're just kind of like, I don't know, I kind of feel a little bit of something, and they go get looked at, it's a grade 2. So everybody's so different that I think it's more, the more experience and knowledge that you have and just wisdom of seeing multiple injuries with different kinds of people, I think it can improve your ability to make those decisions and converse with the athletes in that way. Sometimes you have to be the brake, sometimes you have to be the gas.
Yeah.
And then knowing when is really important.
Yeah, they're humans, and like every human's different.
There's dynamic flexibility, right? Past experience, past exposures, all those things make a huge difference, right?
For sure.
In how they perceive pain and how they perceive their interaction, right, with their performance therapist.
Yeah.
My question for you is, right, combine based, I guess, where do you find your role this week, right? Guys are doing all their testing, coming mm-hmm. on and off the field. They're coming back to the exo suite. Like, what are some things that you're thinking about when a guy comes back in after he's performing? What are some of the first things that you do?
You saying after he has performed
after
or before he does it?
Well, I guess both, right? Guys that are preparing to perform, but then guys that are now coming off the field after.
So I speak a lot to this about with my students. We have a lot of education in exos, and that includes taking students throughout the year. And I'll tell people that it's needs versus wants. Okay, if as a PT, if you get in the business of providing needs all the time, you're probably not going to be that good of a therapist. Mm-hmm. Because I would love to get a massage and get, you know, pampered in passive treatment all the time because it feels really good. But that's not really what I need, especially when it's early on in the process. So throughout the first 8 weeks, guys are coming over, they'll say, this feels like this, or I have this in my history. And we will diagnose movement and find out that, okay, well, here's all the things that, you know, we see are going wrong that could be causing the hamstring. Mm-hmm. So I know you want to stretch your hamstring, but that's not your problem, right? The problem, and I think I misspoke earlier, I said needs when I meant to say wants, but the problem is this, this, this. So here's what you actually need. So let's do that.
Absolutely.
Now, when we get here, right, the hay's in the barn. All of the needs we've hopefully been taken care of. So when they get here, it's more about managing the mental. And so mentally, they want some things before they go do this to feel good. So I manage and I give them the wants. Hey, will you scrape, cup, you know, name the passive treatment? I'm like, got you, dude. Get on the table. Let's go. Let's get it. I'm going to wear my wrist out all week. You know, like I'm going to do the things. My thumb, you know, my thumb is going to come back swollen as heck at the MTP. So that's what we do while we're here, right? Like, yeah. It's all about getting the guys mentally prepared, and that means giving them what they want versus what they need. And then after they're done, it's picture time, hug time. You know, it's celebratory time. Jump in the Normatec boots, get in the cold tub, recover, go eat a good meal. You haven't eaten a burger in 8 weeks, so just go chow down on a double meat.
Plenty of places to do that around Indianapolis. Around
Steak and Shake. I'll be getting Steak and Shake at the end of the week. Don't worry. Red Velvet Milkshake, too.
That's good. There's also, if you want a little bit higher grade, there's also plenty of good options for that.
Yeah, I'm sure. But ain't nothing better than a sloppy,
There's always a place in the diet for just a sloppy, yes.
That place is right here in the dead center of our hearts.
Absolutely. All
right. Zach Mitchell, PT at Exos. Appreciate your time, man. This was great. Definitely hope to have you back on in the future.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.